Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning, our topic is entitled The Message of Enoch. So our study will be taken from Genesis chapter 5 to begin with this morning. I think that a discussion about Enoch is appropriate for our time. And I want to juxtapose Enoch's very important revelation next to the several post-apocalyptic movies that are coming out from Hollywood these days. Movies that offer no hope, but do point to those a few who are survivalists and who are skilled in some way of defying the established post-apocalyptic order of things. So it seems that hope has been expunged, as it were, from the heaven. And at the end of a long period of time in which so-called critical scholarship and others have roundly denounced the existence of God and touted that God is not there, we see the results. And we are living out the results of those who believe that we do not need God. There are consequences to human beliefs and human behavior. There are consequences to our attitudes. And we see that to say that God is not there does not remove God. But in the case of some, it does tell us the state of their hearts and what this means for them. And I like to follow and watch the actions of those who say that God is not there. And it is very interesting what one observes in their actions and their behavior. Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He said that they were marrying and giving in marriage, etc., until they were swept away. Now, what is immediately recognizable from the statement of Jesus is the shutting down or the closing of consciousness and the narrowing of human consciousness in a certain direction. And we see that closing of human consciousness today and a narrowing of the individual into merely an entity that responds to marketing campaigns, marketing techniques, and the unique person is being truncated and made negligible So it is very obvious, or it should be obvious, what is going on today, and that the message of God is being taken out or extricated from human awareness. Long ago, one prophet said that where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so I do not want to sound dire or negative by any means. I want to offer an alternative, and that is that there is real hope, and that God does have a message, a redemptive message in these dark times. And so we need not acquiesce to the spiritual stupor that is about today. And very interestingly, on the webpage of radio personality that I follow, he said that it is noticeable today. He said that people today lack soul. They're as if they're almost automatons, because the life has been taken away. Yes, we have alcohol, we have trips, we have entertainment, we have distraction. We have created a global Vanity Fair, but one sees that Vanity Fair is collapsing. We see the violence and the unhappiness and the misery that is going on today. But God is there. God is there. And God, according to the Iesu, is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Enoch has a very powerful message for us, because he lived in days much like our own. But there was a different spirit about Enoch, as there was a different spirit in Joshua or Yehoshua and Caleb. They filled in after God in a marvelous way. According to the Hebrew, God said that those two individuals filled in after him. And we see this also in Enoch, who at the age of 65 had his first child, and his name was Methuselah. And so here the prophet is a father, he is a parent, and he is a powerful man of God. There were certainly those prophets whom God called, who did not have families, but God also had prophets who did have families, such as Isaiah. And what I want to show this morning is that Enoch presents a model for us. How should we then live in this time? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, it reads, "And after he became," that is Enoch, "became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Now, his name, or the name Enoch, is from the Hebrew kanach, which means to instruct, and also to initiate and to dedicate. And so in the midst of a virulent time, in the midst of a malignant and very violent time, Enoch walked with God. That is, he had joint things in common with God. That is the definition, the biblical definition of the word fellowship. That is the biblical definition of what we call fellowship, to have joint things in common with God. And so the life of Enoch is the reign of grace, canon. And we define grace as God's unmerited favor or undeserved kindness or favor toward us. And grace is a Greek term which is a noun of action. We call it a noun of action. And as this noun of action is intrinsic to the biblical message. Enoch filled in after God. Enoch walked with God. You read that he walked with God 300 years. Just think about that. The what was involved and the commitment that he made toward God in the midst of time, in which there was certainly a moral relativism. And one could virtually do anything one wanted to do. And during the antediluvian world, well, certainly individuals could say, if it feels good, do it. Or I can do anything I want to do. And a word that I've heard many times in the local church, I don't want to grow up. I want to remain a kid or a child. And so with this this denial or of responsibility and this commitment to immaturity, of course, a certain destiny is set in place. But Enoch had nothing to do with this type of behavior. He focused upon God. And his focus created within him a capacity for spiritual growth and spiritual maturity toward God. See, the spiritual life is dynamic. One never reaches a plateau where one thinks, I can no longer grow spiritually. Enoch's relationship with God proved something wonderful in his life. And that is, when one is serious about one's commitment to God, then God is serious for that individual. When the individual is not serious toward God, then he or she will not grow. A lack of serious commitment toward God curtails and defeats the spiritual life. Yes, one can have the veneer and superficial, you know, respectability, but that doesn't satisfy the heart. That is merely a social persona that one holds up. It is merely spiritual fiction. And there is a lot of that today. There is a lot of spiritual fiction abroad today that God sees through and that God knows is not real. And so it is a form of self-deception. It is delusional because God knows the heart. Read Psalm 139. God knows the heart with great intimacy. God cannot be fooled. God is not led astray by our actions. In fact, God knows our lives and our hearts in great detail. And Psalm 139, one reads, beginning in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." In verse 23, the verb search means to examine thoroughly, investigate, search out. You see, and the word know, yada, means to commence or to complete. Test me, baha, means to search out. God wants the individual's heart to be right toward him. And God will meet us in our deepest need. God will meet us in our deepest needs. Enoch had such a relationship with God. In fact, in the Hebrew we read in verse 22 where it states, and after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. In the Hebrew, it literally means he set himself to walk. The verb is in what we call the reflexive stem, which means to act upon oneself. And so he set himself to walk with God. He made the commitment to walk with God. He initiated. He dedicated himself to be God's individual during this very harrowing and destructive time. Most certainly, the people were lulled into a sense of I'm okay and you're okay. Of course, the people were lulled into a sense that everything is all right, everything is permissible. And it is interesting that when people go off into or commit themselves to complete hedonistic behavior and the exploration of every lust, what happens to the personality? See, there is a word in biblical Greek that talks about readiness for all types of lust. Readiness to fulfill every type and to explore every type of raunchy human behavior. Epithumia. Epithumia is one of the Greek words that talks about this type of behavior. Riotous living. Unbridled living. And so the individual takes into himself or herself the pollution of such a manner of being. One reads at the beginning of chapter 5, which provides for us the first cemetery, as it were. We read, and he died. And he died. In chapter 5, verse 22, we read that, and Enoch walked with God. And so one individual stated that the phrase replaces the word live in the other paragraphs of the chapter, and reminds us that there is a difference between walking with God and merely living. There is a difference between walking with God and merely living. And so a change has occurred through this individual. There is a genealogical separation between the line of Cain, and then there is the line of Seth, but a change occurs, and the godly line in the antediluvian world intermarried with the ungodly line. And so that division evaporates, and there is a coming together, there is a coalescence, there is a moral monism is created, a moral monolith that is negative, and yet, indeed, very powerful. And this powerful moral monolith of relativism will sweep away the conscience of individuals, and they will join themselves to this moral monism that will eventuate in the coming of the Megal, we say the flood. But this was more than a mere flood in which the rains come down and create mudslides and havocs. The topography of a particular area. The Bible tells us that the tectonic plates, as it were, the fountains of the great deep were broken up. It's interesting that there is more water under the landmass than there is on the surface of the earth. We know this. And the Bible tells us that the windows of heaven were open. And so you have the fracturing, the breaking up of the land map. And then you have the water coming down, as it were. In other words, the negative moral monism of that day with its moral relativism did not account for the fact that the origin of the universe has or had an exogenous origin, and that is God himself. See, with the moral monism, there is a closing of the universe. There is a closing of awareness. There is a closing of accountability. And hence, of course, one can say that God does not exist because we are declared war against God, and God does not exist within our system because he is not allowed to exist. But the moral monism is a mere fragment. It is a mere speck within the created order. And so finally, God allows the moral monism to collapse due to his own negative force. God allows it to collapse due to his own heinous philosophical conclusion. But it is God, finally, who brings this virulent cosmic view to collapse. This is the world in which Enoch lived. Enoch's life was his message. His walk with God was his message. He walked with God after he had Methuselah 300 years. As he observed the heinous brutality, as he observed the liberalism in the justice system, as he observed the unbridled pollution of persons within themselves, as he observed the evaporation of love among individuals, and how individuals just use one another for hedonistic, unbridled hedonistic pleasure. Enoch lived in Vanity Fair. But Enoch lived as a godly individual. Enoch lived a life that was blessed by God. How do I know that? That Enoch lived a life that was blessed with God? Well, we see grace at work in Enoch's life. We read in verse 24 of chapter 5 of Genesis that Enoch walked with God. That is, he set himself to walk with God. He acted to walk with God. Then he was no more, because God snatched him away. Here's a picture of the snatching away of the called out one before the cataclysm of the Mabul, before God brings in the creation. God is going to collapse the universe or the world of God is going to collapse the antediluvian world and bring back the world of Genesis chapter 1. Where the earth was form and without void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But there is one whom God is going to bring forth, whose name is Noah, whose name means rest. There is salvation in the midst of catastrophe. My name is Don. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you next time on the Metacost.